John Gibbons, former Blue Jays manager, is up and at him early somewhere deep in the heart of Texas. What's up?
What's up, boys? Yeah, you kidding me? Got me up this time of day?
Well.
What time is it there?
Well, it's an hour earlier than you. 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's not bad. We thought it was two. We thought it was two.
You think I'm working?
Well, what is your title with Atlanta when you... when you finally do get back to work, special assignment, is that the deal?
Yeah, it's special assignment. Originally, I thought it was special assistant, but somehow it got changed to special assignment. So I'm a little confused there.
Special assistant probably gets you too close to the decision makers, and they want to keep you at arm's length or whatever the case may be. We were talking about it, Gibby, and you were probably listening in before we brought you on. What for you, outside of the obvious ones, the playoff games or the clinchers in 15 and 16 that secured you guys a playoff spot, like what are some big moments or big games from your managerial career that would have happened in the middle of the season that wouldn't necessarily stand out to the average fan to remember?
Yeah, well, first, I mean, when you guys were talking about dates and things like that, I couldn't tell you what today's date is, so let's not, you know, pull some dates out of the hat. Now, I will tell you, I think the thing about baseball, and you guys know it well, you know, you're at it every day, you know. It's not like you're playing two or three games a week or one game a week or whatever it is. So it's that steady grind every day, and you know, it's a lot of times it's Groundhog Day, you know, and you just go out there that particular day and try to win a game or something. But there's certain times, you know, certain games that stick out. I think something really special happens or historic, or whether it's for you guys or against you guys, are always memorable. I know from, you know, the coaching end of it, streaks are big deal, you know. It's a volatile business. You know, you're under the gun. You know, things start rolling the wrong way. And during certain years, you know, the storm clouds gather and somebody wants your head. So, I mean, there's times during the season you remember different, you know, whether, okay, that was the game that got us on a little bit of a roll that saved my ass, saved somebody's ass, or whatever it might be, things like that, or just big, you know, just big individual performances. But it is, you know, baseball, I really think you have to take the approach, you show up that day because you're at it every single day and just see what the hell happens, you know. And a lot of times there's not, it really just comes down to whether you win, you know, won the game or lost the game, because, you know, baseball can, and a lot of times can be really pretty basic and to a lot of people boring.
I'm wondering if Washington, I'm wondering, Gibby, if Washington, D.C. 2015 is what comes to mind for you as one of those series that, well, definitely turned the tide of that season, but might have also, as you said, saved your ass.
Oh, yeah, Scotty. Yeah, you remember that. That got us, I think, on that 11 games roll, if I'm not mistaken. We were just kind of sputtering. And then, I don't know if I was telling you, I was telling somebody not too long ago that, after that big win, you know, Burley finished off that series. You know, we got shut out first game, or we got beat the first game, and then we won two out of three, beat Scherzer. Pilar hit a home run, and the next day Burley threw a complete game shutout. And so we're all feeling pretty good. And somebody came in after the game and said, "Hey, kind of like my last year there in Toronto in 18, we're playing pretty good out in Seattle." And he come home and somebody says, "Hey." They're saying on the radio, "This might be your last homestand." I said, "Well," I'm thinking, "What? Come on, we just won a big game." But yeah, that kind of turned things around for us a little bit anyway. You know, gave us a little reprieve. But yeah, those are the kind of things I think you guys are talking about that stick out in your mind. And it's like, you know, because baseball is a grind, and you look for the little things here or there.
Yeah, you mentioned the grind and how, you know, so many games. How do you keep something with baseballs, with all the games, how do you keep the players motivated through a season when it's just like every day you got to go and play? I know in hockey there's been coaches that do crazy things. They flip out in practice. They come in the room. They do you know, there's one coach, Mike Keenan, longtime NHL guy. He would do crazy things. He would, you'd go into the room and he'd change everybody's stalls around. So you were sitting next to someone you weren't sitting next to all season and do all sorts of, you know, crazy things like that. What would you do anything where guys would question or shake your head at?
No, you know what? You know, everybody's different. You know, hockey's probably a more emotional sport, obviously. It's more physical sport. It's more emotional. You know, I played high school football down here in Texas. It's a pretty big deal. You know, so, and I know you play one game a week, and even at that level, it's a very emotional thing, and you can get revved up. Baseball, if you get too emotional and then you get too down, too low, you know, the emotional swings, I think, kill a team, you know. Mm-hmm. I think they look for the steady hand out of their coaches. I really do. You know, we're all a product of our upbringing and how we, you know, if we played sports, you know, what we liked, we didn't like. So I picked some things apart from, you know, some of my old coaches, whether it be high school or professionally. And you just kind of react. You know, your personality is what it is. If you turn into, you know, the fake guy where they, you know, or a phony, you know, just to try to make something happen. These guys read it. Now, there's nothing wrong with spiking some things a little bit and they're having a little fun with the guys because you are at it every day. I think that's very important. You can't just be a dead ass. You know, they have to know you have a heartbeat. I know, mm-hmm. I know that for sure. But you know, I mean, guys read through a lot of the phony stuff.
John Gibbons is with us. There's a Twitter account at Blue Jays Always Gibby who tweets out anniversaries, and we were talking about big moments. 7 years ago today, May 26, 2013, Munenori Kawasaki hit the walk-off double to win you guys that game, and they gave the epic interview afterward with a rash. Munenori Kawasaki. How good was he, man? I'll never forget. We're in Tampa Bay, late June, and Reyes is ready to come back from that grotesque ankle injury he suffered in Kansas City the second week of the season in 2013. And you guys have to send Munenori back to AAA. And I think it meant so much that Alex Anthopoulos felt he had to go into the clubhouse after the game and let everybody know because Munenori was so popular. And I'll never forget, you guys won that night. Mark Burley pitched, and Burley welled up in the post-game scrum talking about Kawasaki and how much he would be missed. Now, it turned out Munenori came back as an injury recall like 3 or 4 days later, so he wasn't gone for very long. But the thought of Munenori not coming back or being gone for a while, like Burley loved, everybody loved that guy.
Oh, yeah. You know, he was a special guy. There's no doubt, and you know there's certain people you meet in life. Scotty, you're one of them. I'll give you that, brother. You know that you know what when you see him each day, you know you feel better. You know you have fun. You know you can be kind of down in the dumps or distracted or whatever, and you kind of make you feel good. You know they're optimistic, positive, and generally they bring out the best in people. And you know Mooney was that way, and yeah, I remember that day well. And yeah, I mean it was tough for us, and you know. I felt it was kind of important that I went out there and spoke to the team briefly, and I'd never done that. You know, I thought, you know, really, this is just a transaction. But if I remember right, you know, there's always a chance you could lose the guy, and you know, he didn't. He was from a different country, you know, but he fit in like a charm, you know, maybe it was DeMarlo. Hey, our bench coach, DeMarlo went over on that tour and, you know, it was a postseason tour over to Japan when they played some of those exhibition games. And he said he ran into Mooney over there. He was like a sideline reporter. And he couldn't believe it. He said it was the funniest thing. And then I got word that he came. Well, you know, he did end up winning a ring with the Cubs. But I think he was trying to make a comeback, I heard, over in Japan, you know. But one of my favorite guys of all time, which is kind of, you know, probably unusual to a lot of people.
Yeah, and he, like, I mean, he had some big moments. That's undeniable. And guys would get hurt, and he would go in, and he'd make the plays. I mean, he wasn't a superstar, but he'd come up with some big hits. He'd field his position wherever you put him, typically shortstop. He got the job done. So it wasn't just that he was a cheerleader. He could play a little bit.
Oh, yeah, Scott, you know what? Yeah, you can put him anywhere. You know, he just was a good baseball player. You know, I mean, you know, the players that come from Japan are just good baseball players. You know, physically, their size is different than, you know, most guys from North America, even Latin America. But, you know, they come from a culture that's very disciplined. You guys know that. And it was a tremendous work ethic and perfectionist. So, you know, I mean, those guys that come from that life over there, you know, they're doing things right, man, because they don't think they can get away with doing it wrong. And I noticed that at all Japanese players. But, you know, the thing I remember most about Mooney, though, you know, he could not even be in the game. And, you know, in between innings, if, you know, the catcher's putting on his gear, so you need a player to go out there and warm up the pitcher to keep the game moving. Anytime Mooney would go out there, I think it was damn near turned into a standing ovation. I've never seen anything like it. And he might have been the most popular guy on that team, believe it or not, even over some of them other guys.
John Gibbons is our guest, former Blue Jays manager. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What do you think it'd be like to manage games in front of empty stadiums? How do you think the game has affected Gibby by the fact that we are likely to get a return of baseball here within the next couple of months, but that no fans will be allowed to attend the games?
Yeah, I think that's going to be weird. I don't quite understand it all. Every part of the country or every part of the world, you know, different how they're reacting to this. You know, down here in San Antonio, you know, I know they've loosened some restrictions, and you know, there's a lot of normalcy now. You know, not quite like it used to be. I mean, you know, for obvious reasons, you have to be smart. But it's, I'm shocked that they'll play him in front of nobody. I figure maybe there'll be some kind of, you know, lottery, and you can at least put some people in the stands, you know. But it'll be weird. I'm, you know, I keep hearing different things about what might happen. So I don't even follow it anymore. If you want to know the truth, I'm just kind of waiting until something's concrete and we know what's going to happen. But even what's going on in the world, you know, you hear so many different things. I think everybody's confused, you know, I mean, the sad part is down here in the U.S. anyway, you know, I mean, it's turned into a political thing, you know, I mean, everybody's politicizing and using it against this person, whatever. So it's terrible. So I kind of lost interest in trying to, you know, I do my part to, you know, to be a good citizen. And, but I'm kind of fed up with a lot of it.
Is your hair long? Are you cutting your own hair? What's the look right now? Do you look like you just walked in from the woods? Like, what's the story?
Hey, Scotty, actually, I got the barbershops opened up about a week ago. So I snuck in there, man. I snuck in there and cut it down a little bit. I have my hair still. You know, that's a pretty good thing, so I don't want to cut too much of it off. But it's gray.
Were you taking care of it?
Definitely was I taking care of it. You guys know what I look like. Do I look like I take care of anyone?
Well, every now and then.
Maybe my next meal, I'll take care of my next meal.
And there you go. Carve it up with John Gibbons. Gibby, you know, it's crazy how time flies. And you weren't in the stadium for this, but Friday, May 29th, marks the 10th anniversary of the late, great Roy Halladay's perfect game, pitching for Philadelphia down in the Miami area against the Marlins. 10 years, May the 29th, 2010. And in time with that anniversary, ESPN is set to air a documentary on Roy's life, and it is called Imperfect. You know, you've shared a lot about your time with Roy. You managed him for more than four seasons in Toronto through the mid-2000s. This is a guy, in a day and age like today where there are so few perfect games, So few pitchers who throw 120, 125 pitches. So few guys who can spin a gem in under 2 hours. It's strange to think that it was only 10 to 15 years ago that someone like Roy existed. He was truly unique, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, a special guy. You know, complex guy. There's no doubt. But you know, I mean, yeah, he'd go out there and you know, throw all those pitches, throw complete games and all that. But he there was only a couple of them in the league at the time that would do it. So I mean, the game was changing even back then in his prime. You know, he's a guy that wanted to do it. You know, I don't even think there's a lot of guys out there that want to do it anymore. You know, I think they kind of accepted the way the game is. But he took it upon himself that, hey, that's my job. People come to watch me play. They're paying me to go out there and complete this game. And, you know, Roy just had that wonderful mentality, you know, that you would you'd want out of a professional, any professional in any sports or really in life, you know. I mean, he's gonna give you everything he had every day, good or bad. Usually it was good. But, you know, he knew he was getting paid a lot of money, and you know he felt responsibility. And in between his starts, nobody worked harder. You know, he always prepared himself for, you know, whatever, good, bad, or ugly. And just a special guy, complex guy. You know, really, he kept to himself. There's no doubt. But you know, as far as you know, my profession and being a manager and a coach, you know, there's certain guys you come along in your life and in your profession that make a huge impact, not just on the field, but off the field, and just the quality of human being, and he's right up at the top.
As a coach or manager, how would you approach a player if maybe they struggled, you know, off the field? What kind of boundaries did you have with your guys? Because I assistant coach a university hockey team here in Toronto, and when you know players are struggling, you know, outside of the rink, it's kind of a touchy situation on how much you do get involved in their lives. Did you have, you know, anything set up, or how would you, you know, where would you draw the line as coach or manager or as friend?
Well, you know, I mean, we all struggle, you know, in life and on and off the field with things and you know, in the sports world, and when these guys are under the microscope, you know, and they're entertainers, you know, they're in the arena. And so everything they do, you know, I mean, it gets noticed, it gets, you know, especially in this day and age, you know, with all the social media. So there's really no hiding anything. You know, I think one thing, you know, I can only speak for Toronto, but I know all the other teams do it. You know, everybody has, you know, support system in their organization, from the minor leagues up to the big leagues, with psychologist, psychiatrist, you know, a lot of medical people that, you know, really qualified. And so, and it used to not be that way, you know. It's basically survival of the fittest, you know. And if you fell off to the side, and the game keeps moving on, you know. Now they're real conscious of giving everybody the help they need, and I think they do a tremendous job. But, you know, I always made it a point, you know, I tried to get to know the guys that played for me. And so, naturally, I was aware of some of the things, not everything. You know, I mean, there's a lot of confidential stuff that goes on out there that, you know, people, players don't want everybody to know about. And, you know, I surely wasn't going to dig into that stuff. So a lot of it wasn't my, you know, my business. But, you know, if it was going to affect the team, it was detrimental to a team, or it would involve the organization, and, you know, when it got to that point, you know, naturally I'd get involved, but not directly necessarily. I might inform somebody, and then the people that's what they do, you know, they would take over those things. And, but yeah, nothing goes by much anymore where, you know, if somebody needs help with whatever it might be, or somebody's having a problem on or off the field, you know, the right people usually know about it. Now, whether they want to get help to fix that, that's their decision.
Always good to hear your voice, Gibby, and with the border closed down, we're going to be able to keep you out for a long period of time here. You know?
Hey, the border's closed?
Oh, the border's closed. Oh, you bet.
Which one? The northern border or the southern border?
That's for the political show that we're doing later, the Gibby podcast.
See, I told you everything's political now. My apologies.
No, you know. We're just having fun with you. It's always good to hear your voice. Let's do this again soon. Stay safe down there, and look forward to talking some real ball with you soon.
All right, boys, miss you guys. Hang in there.